This is Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 1027 WLGZ. Now here's your host, Mark Shuttleworth.
It is Rock Talk. My name is Mark Shuttleworth. And joining us on the air this morning, Maureen McGuire with the Walkwinds Alzheimer's, a big event coming up very soon. Maureen, welcome to the program.
It is terrific to be here. Thank you.
Now, Alzheimer's is, people obviously know about Alzheimer's. Most of us know somebody who's impacted by Alzheimer's. Can you tell us what kind of progress are we making as far as medical research goes into perhaps a cure?
Well, unfortunately, right now, there remains no cure. But I can tell you that the Alzheimer's Association leads the way globally in terms of funding research, not just for a cure, but for effective treatments for the disease. And that includes locally. We have many fine researchers who are participating in global studies for this disease. We have some biotech firms locally that lead the way in terms of research. It's a great example in many ways of fundraising dollars that circle right back around and support local research. There's a local firm, for example, called Vaccinex, that is doing some incredible studies right now into subjects that would hopefully lead to not just effective treatments, but a cure, because it helps us understand how the brain works, especially how the brain works as it's impacted by Alzheimer's and other dementias. So, you know, that's terrific. And by the way, I will say that personally, you know, I am one of thousands of people just here at home locally whose family's been impacted by this disease. My father passed away from Alzheimer's in 2016. And one of the things that he did when he was diagnosed in late 2010 was sign up within a year. Thanks to the Alzheimer's Association, he learned about this study and his local doctors who work so closely with the Alzheimer's Association. He signed up for a trial, a study, and part of what they did as they tracked the progression of his disease was study his brain. And my father agreed to have an autopsy of his brain upon his death. So when my dad died, you know, his body was taken to URMC, and they began the long process of studying his brain upon death. And it wasn't just his hope. It was, he worked for this. He worked for the day when there would someday be a cure for this disease. And that is why so many of us aren't just banking on hope now. We're going to continue that work, you know, that our loved ones began when they did things like what my father did, which is not just live as gracefully as possible with this disease, but also worked for a cure. And that work is being done locally. It's very heartening to know.
Yeah. We're speaking with Maureen McGuire with the Alzheimer's Association, and specifically with the Walk to End Alzheimer's. And we can give you the date right now. It's August 9th at Frontier Field. And I'll give you the website to go to learn more about the walk, which is act.alz.org. And we'll talk more about the walk specifically in just a few minutes. Do you have any idea what are the numbers as far as people who are impacted by Alzheimer's, either nationally or local, Maureen?
Well, across the country, more than 6 million Americans live with Alzheimer's, and that number goes up when you include all other dementias. Alzheimer's is the most common form of dementia. We're talking probably 1 in 3 seniors who actually die from this disease. And these numbers increase every year. I mean, the pandemic alone, deaths went up probably 15-16%. Deaths have increased 100% or more in the last 10 years or so. And more than 3 million cases a year in the U.S. alone, just as it continues. increase. And that, again, that's because there is no cure. Population increases, the number of seniors increase, and it's not just it's a disease that doesn't just impact seniors, but it does impact seniors to a huge degree. In New York State, we're talking 400,000 to 500,000 people who live with this disease. And then you throw in the impact on caregivers. It is huge, huge. And so for every one of those people, we're talking about a community of caregivers, family members, workplaces that do their part to support these caregivers. But oftentimes we're talking about lost productivity because people just need to take time away from work in order to care for loved ones who have this disease. And, of course, the huge impact on the healthcare system alone monetarily, it's really quite tremendous. The numbers are just staggering when you think about it.
Yeah.
And locally, we're probably talking 45, 50,000 in the Rochester and Finger Lakes region. And again, that number increases every year.
Yeah. And those are people living with Alzheimer's. And like you say, it's very few people live through it alone. Their families are impacted, their caregivers. And so the number of people in our area who are impacted by Alzheimer's, again, grows exponentially that way. How do most people get the diagnosis of dementia? What are warning signs? What should somebody do if it's either them or perhaps a spouse that they're wondering about?
Well, I'm just going to sort of tell you a little bit about what happened with my family personally. And for anybody who has questions, there is an incredible hotline that operates 24/7. Run by the Alzheimer's Association. But in my case, in our case, my family's case, my father was showing signs of what we thought were depression or maybe even hearing loss. He's a very vital man, very active in his retirement, but he spent more time kind of lost in what we thought was sort of, pondering and, we think he was a sort of sitting. He lost interest in activities that seemed to bring him satisfaction and joy, reading, crossword puzzles, card playing. He just lost. We thought what it was losing interest. But, upon conversations with him after his diagnosis, I learned that it wasn't just losing interest. He couldn't remember how to play gin rummy and then of course over time, he tended to get lost coming home. In his case, he always found his way home, but he would take wrong turns or have moments of a blank moments where he couldn't remember directions. And then as his disease progressed, it definitely impacted his language, although in our case, we're so grateful for this. He always knew who we were. He always could engage in some conversation, but his ability to find the right words to describe whatever he was feeling or whatever object he was thinking of, he struggled. Mm-hmm. His language skills definitely deteriorated over time. His ability to do basic banking deteriorated over time. Mm-hmm. His cognitive skills seemed to falter and then just sort of slip away over time. And all of these things were very, very subtle at the beginning. We just, a lot of his loved ones just thought of it as depression or maybe hearing loss or, but it was really all of us, especially my mother, of course, who was the closest to him, who said, honey, I think you need to see a doctor. Mm-hmm. Let's find out what's going on. And that's exactly how that happened. I think everybody's different, but, it really, and this is where,
family really can help by encouraging loved ones to see a doctor if they have any concerns about what's happening in terms of cognitive skills and the like, you know. But that's, you know, and there are so many warning signs. The Alzheimer's website is full of incredible information. I mean, it is a wonderful clearinghouse of all sorts of information, everything from warning signs to tips for caregivers to the latest research or what's happening in Washington to lobby for more support for families and patients and healthcare system and research dollars. And then the website is simply ALZ.org, ALZ.org. So anybody who wants information about that, I would encourage them to visit the website, but also talk to your doctor.
Yeah.
Talk to your doctor.
Absolutely. Have that conversation. It can't be an easy conversation to have, you know, kind of trying to come to terms with that. But there's probably something that comes with the knowledge of at least you know what you're up against. At least the family knows what they're facing and can take steps to, you know, to improve life and to help everybody through it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I would say that while a diagnosis absolutely can be devastating, feels crushing, in our case, I remember very vividly, I was sort of I come from a fairly large family, but my parents asked that I be a part of the initial conversations with doctors, so that I was sort of a third set of eyes and ears, and also could offer my observations to doctors who might, you know, want as much information as possible. But what I will never forget is, you know, those are hard conversations, and it is very frightening to even hear the word. And in our case, I just remember that my father's doctor, the doctor, primary doctor who treated him through his Alzheimer's journey. One of the first things he did was let us know about the Alzheimer's Association, gave us printed material, encouraged us to get in touch with the Alzheimer's Association, and that was good for two reasons. Number one, that hotline is invaluable. It could be 3 in the morning. You're struggling to figure out, you know, my dad's been okay for quite a while, and all of a sudden this is happening. Mm-hmm. Or he, you know, how do I have a conversation with my father about maybe taking away the car keys? Yeah. or just support, just emotional and psychological and support, or asking about resources locally. That hotline was great. And although we didn't use it a whole lot, it was invaluable on one or two occasions for me and another sibling. Mm-hmm. But the fact that this diagnosis can be so hard and these conversations can be so tough, caregivers and families and patients need support. And the Alzheimer's Association is there. They have an incredible wealth of support groups, educational seminars, and these are all run by staff and volunteers who go out there into the community to support families who are dealing with this really tough journey.
And the website, again, that we keep referring to is alz.org, and it is a fantastic website. It's easy to navigate. There's a lot of information on there, including that hotline number that Maureen was mentioning. It's 1-800-272-3900. It's 1-800-272-3900, but it's right there on the website, top right corner. It is easy to spot. And 24/7 access to anybody if you have any questions, if you're living with somebody with Alzheimer's or somebody in your family. That's got to be a great degree of comfort. So the Alzheimer's Association, it helps put you in contact with support groups locally, Maureen?
Absolutely. These are support groups that are happening even today. Mm-hmm. As we speak. They are, a constant effort.
support groups for men, women, children, families, patients, caregivers. Their educational workshops are fantastic. I know trained volunteers who go out and help educate employers and businesses about the warning signs of Alzheimer's or how to treat clients with dignity who have this disease. You know, maybe somebody has Alzheimer's, but they're still, you know, they're still out and about in the community and they're going into bank, go banking, and they struggle with words at the, you know, when they're dealing with a bank teller, or they're in a restaurant and, you know, might need a little extra support. There are a lot of opportunities for local businesses and places of work to get some information from the Alzheimer's Association. I know personally, I've spoken over the years in my previous incarnation as a news reporter. I've talked with police agencies who, with the help of the Alzheimer's Association, train their law enforcement officers on how to help people that they may encounter in the community who have Alzheimer's. This is all an association that's doing this 24/7 year round.
Yeah.
It's a pretty incredible organization.
It sounds like it. ALZ.org is the website. The hotline number again is 1-800-272-3900. But hit up that website. It's got the hotline number on it and a whole host of other information that you've heard Maureen talking about today. ALZ.org is the number. We're going to talk about the walk to end Alzheimer's here in just a second. Let's talk about funding, because this is a big operation, like you said, and there's 24/7 care on phone lines. I mean, all of this, there's an expense to it. How does the Alzheimer's Association handle funding?
Well, you know, when you consider the fact that the Alzheimer's Association is the leading voluntary health organization in Alzheimer's care and support and research, that's a huge thing. Think about this. All of that is completely supported by donations. And those donations are made possible through the Walk to End Alzheimer's, which takes place all over the country, and other Alzheimer's events.
I got you. So
we're talking about an organization that relies on the generosity of this community, and on major donors, corporate funding, funding from the McGuire family, all the way down to, you know. But those dollars go directly to all of those programs I talked about, to lobbying in Washington, and most importantly, to direct care and support for patients and their families.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about it. We've been teasing this event for about 20 minutes or so. It's the big walk to end Alzheimer's. And is this the biggest event that the Alzheimer's Association has all year? And this is huge.
Yes, it is. And it's a beautiful event for a lot of reasons. Number one, it's a way for families and loved ones and friends of people who have Alzheimer's to come together and just take comfort in each other's presence, to take comfort in the presence of people who support them as they go through this journey. It's really kind of a special event because, you know, Alzheimer's can be such an isolating disease. It has a huge impact on people who are directly affected by this. And so this event is special in so many ways. That is really one of them. I know that I took great comfort. The first walk that I participated in 2016, several months after my father died, was the Walk to End Alzheimer's that fall. And, it was just, I guess because the last year of his journey with Alzheimer's really was very isolating. You know, our circle became smaller, and to be able to walk with people who know what we went through was great. But it was also really wonderful to walk with people and say, I support you too, you know. And to see people out in the community who, while they might not be directly impacted by the disease, were there to show their support as well. Because it's just, you know, as I said, it's an isolating disease. And to be able to come together with people to work for something that we all have in common, which is the day when we don't have to have Alzheimer's, is a beautiful thing. So the walk is a special event, and it is the largest fundraiser for the Alzheimer's Association. It takes place in hundreds of communities across the country. By the way, Rochester's walk is one of the strongest walks in the country.
And look
that,
at
that's
us.
Something about our community.
Yay, Rochester. And this one is at front, it's at Frontier Field, and it's October 9th. And, you know, you kind of went without saying up to a few years ago where, yeah, it was everybody come on out and walk. And then COVID hit, and that impacted everything and messed everything up. But you guys are committed to having this walk on October 9th. But you've got some options for people.
We do. Number one, the pandemic has been hard on everybody. Last year, we went ahead with the walk around Alzheimer's, and we didn't skip a beat. The Alzheimer's Association did not skip a beat. I mean, all of their support services went seamlessly online, and the demand never abated, and the response from the Alzheimer's Association never abated either. It was it might have been the pandemic, but they didn't skip a beat in terms of their efforts to help patients and families. So that's incredible. So what we did last year we went virtual, if you will, but people simply walked from home. And then it was great fun. Everybody uploaded pictures. We were able to do a lot of shared experience simply by using a walk app. So we have people who will feel safer staying at home this year. Certainly can do that. We are monitoring the situation with COVID every day as we plan the walk. And what we're doing is we're going to go ahead with the in-person walk on October 9th at Frontier Field, a reunion, if you will. But we are following all of the local guidelines, local, state, and federal. We're primarily, I think the big difference people will see is social distancing will be in effect at Frontier Field. We'll have food trucks there, and there'll be bands playing as people walk. But we will be maintaining social distance protocol. And the idea is for people who want to even register the day of the walk, we're doing this in a way that eliminates close contact as much as possible. So that's the big difference. And, but we'll still be there. We will still be there. And we're really looking forward to it. We hope that people will show up knowing that we're doing everything possible to keep it as safe as possible and to offer support.
Again, the date is October 9th, Frontier Field, and you can register register for the walk at act.alz.org. Do they register teams or do they register individually?
Both.
Both, okay.
Both.
All right.
Yeah.
Super.
I mean, if you show up on the day of walk and you simply want to
walk by yourself,
there will be people there.
Yeah.
To cheer you on.
Right. You really won't be walking alone.
Right. And we'll have, we will have a team of volunteers, gracious community vendors there, and everybody will be gloved up. There will be no, we're handing out, crackers and bottles of water. People will have gloves on, and they'll be masked just to keep things safe and take every precaution. It promises to be lovely and fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Website again is act.alz.org. That hotline number that Maury mentioned is on the website, but I'll give it to you again. It's 1-800-272-3900. And the walk to end Alzheimer's is at Frontier Field, October 9th. It's going to be a perfect day, I think. I just think the weather's going to be absolutely gorgeous for it. And nice day for a stroll. I also want to encourage you to go to the website. There's a donate button in the top right corner. So You don't even have to wait until October 9th to walk and donate that way. You can just go to the website, click on the donate button, and donate right away. You can donate one time. I'm sure you can become a regular supporter of the Alzheimer's Association as well. And like I said, virtually everybody has been touched by this to one degree or another, whether it was somebody close to you and your family, or, you know, somebody that you're just an acquaintance with, and you see the impact that it has. And this network of people at the Alzheimer's Association is so important for families going through this. They don't want to, with the word isolation kept coming up, and with COVID, you know, we all felt isolated. So we know what that feels like. And when you're dealing with something like Alzheimer's, that's the last thing you want. You want to know that you have support, and that's what the Alzheimer's Association is about.
Mark, thank you, because that's exactly it. And, you know, one other thing, which is this. This Rochester is known for being a generous community. I mean, we regularly rank right up there in terms of volunteerism, in terms of charitable giving. And if I could just encourage everybody to register for the walk. It's a great way to show your support for an organization that is doing such incredible work in this community every single day. We cannot do it without this community's support. We simply can't. We can't continue these programs. We can't continue our efforts to support research without the community's support. And this is just a real tangible, great way to lend a hand, simply by showing up and donating, if you will, and participating in ways that remind everybody that no one is alone. And, you know, we simply cannot do it without this community support. And I would encourage anybody who wants to register to do it now. Simply go to that website, sign up. If you know people who are participating in the walk and want to donate to them directly, again, you can find their teams easily by simply going to the website. But join us. Join us. We would be honored, humbled, and so happy to have as many people show up for the walk as possible.
And on that note, October 9th, Frontier Field, act.alz.org, the website to register for the walk yourself. But like Maureen said, even if you show up that morning, October 9th at Frontier, you can do it right there. You can make a donation. You can start walking with everybody. And it goes without saying, Maureen, that people of all ages are welcome to walk. I mean, kids are welcome, obviously, as well.
Oh, absolutely. My family alone will have people ages 6 to 80 walking the walk. So
it's awesome.
It's an event for everybody.
And it's awesome to see young kids getting involved, even if they don't necessarily know what it's all about. But at young ages, starting them out, you know, at events like these, and letting them learn what it's about to give back, show support, and, you know, be a part of something like this. It's a good way to model.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
It is. It is. Maureen, thank you so much for your time today. It's just been an absolute joy chatting with you about this. And thank you for sharing your story about your father as well. It's just, you know, it's so personal, I can tell, but you're so involved in this, and your heart is there to help people, and we just appreciate that, Maureen. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. Thank you, Mark.
You've been listening to Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 1027 WLGZ, a part of the DJRO Broadcasting Company.